Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 a.m. here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. When I came to the studio here a couple of hours ago, we had a nice day and no snow, and now it's really snowing hard, so I hope I can get home tonight. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows here in Seattle. And we now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. During the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks live from the United Kingdom. He's a fascinating guy, and I'm sure you really enjoy his interview. Then from 3 to 3:30 p.m. today, I'll be talking all about water issues and the Hopi and all the good things that Leon McLaughlin, Michiko Hayashi, and other people are doing for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. Following their interviews, I'll interview a famous Japanese medium and psychic from Japan named Yurasu Shimizu, live from Japan. His message is that every divine spirit that lives in this world has an inner God within them, and that we're splitting into two Earths, one Earth which will ascend, and another Earth which has already been created on the other side of the solar system, which will be for negative entities. It should be a fascinating interview. That'll be during the second hour. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I also would like to thank my friends Corey and Solon Kirkland for their wonderful support, as well as my friends Marion Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've supported the show and helped me raise consciousness. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I want to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. We have Simon on the line now, and I want to make a few announcements, and then we'll go right to him. He's waiting for us now in the United Kingdom. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held in Olympia, Washington. It'll be my fifth annual conference from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. Our website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. We'll have some of the world's best psychics, healers, and UFO people, and Simon will also be giving presentations, as well as Michiko Hayashi and her wonderful friends from the Emoto office. The cost for the three-day conference is just $125, and if you'd like to register, please visit our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. After the conference, I'll be taking a small group of people to visit sacred sites and meet with Hopi elders in Arizona from April 20th to the 28th. We'll meet in Sedona, then travel north. The cost is just $200 per person, with the proceeds going to the Hopi and to the Emoto Peace Project. I wanted to tell you then, also, that 1 week from tomorrow, on February 16th, I'll have a very special and wonderful love psychic fair where I'll be teaching people how to find their sweethearts and giving love readings. The event is free, and it'll be at the Washington RV and Event Center at 9101 Steilacoom Road in Olympia, Washington, just off of exit 114 on the I-5 freeway. Then on March 9th, I'll have another psychic fair at the same location. And then on March 16th, Michiko Hayashi will be coming in from Tokyo to give wonderful healing vibrational Hado sessions. And if you'd like a healing session, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. This is the same process that Dr. Masaru Emoto successfully used to treat over 10,000 people before he passed away in 2014. I'll be returning to Mount Shasta this year, twice, from July 2nd to July 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur, and we also see many Sasquatch and many UFOs flying around Mount Shasta. The last time we were there, in September of last year, Adama, the high priest of Telos, healed the eyesight in my right eye. I did have blurry 20/50 vision in my right eye for many years, And he healed it, and now I have 20/10 crystal clear vision in both eyes. If you'd like to come, the cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping. It is filling up. I won't be taking a large group. I intend to keep it small. So if you're interested, please contact me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. Finally, Denise Barlett of Portland is one of the sponsors of this program, and she's a wonderful person who offers hot water healing and life coaching sessions in the Portland, Oregon area. She creates customized water healing products with structured water, and her website is www.hihado.com. She's a certified hot instructor, and I urge you to contact her if you'd like to try one of her wonderful water healing products. Her email is also denise.barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T, at hihado.com. And her phone number is 425-306-6316. And with that, I'd like to bring on my friend Simon from the United Kingdom. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. I'm very well, thank you.
Oh,
delighted to be back and talk to you and the audience.
Oh, good. And how are you feeling? I know you weren't feeling well last week. Simon, are you feeling better today?
Yes, still nose is a bit nosily.
Okay.
I had a bit of a cold or a flu thing, which caused me to miss a few things and, you know, missed the show. But it's just been doing the rounds, and I've thrown it off now. So here I am, back on as usual.
Well, I'd like to ask everyone to please send lots of love and light to Simon, so that his nose thing will not be so nosy anymore, and he'll feel better, because those positive thoughts do help. I know they do, and nobody, I'm sure everyone here wants you to feel better, Simon. So,
thank you.
Well, I listened to your interview last week with Benjamin Fulford. What a fascinating interview you gave. That was fascinating. And the reason is because you said your sole purpose was to get the truth out to people, because this was not being done, and that the power elite or whoever controls this planet and in many governments treat us like children who can't seem to handle the truth. I'd love some more comments on that, Simon, if you don't mind.
Sure. I mean, I approached Ben Fulford because I noticed that a lot of his news matched quite closely what I had,
mm-hmm.
Coming from different sources. And some of your audience may know that I set up an organization called Connecting Consciousness, which is a group of people in each country who support each other and work together and have coordinators. It's totally voluntary because I don't have any money to pay people, unfortunately.
Sure.
Well, just established a group in Japan, and that's where Benjamin Fulford is based. So one of the Japanese coordinators was able to have a chat with him and test out the water, see if he would be prepared to do a sort of a chat or a sort of a question and answer session, and that's what we arranged. And that was great. It was 1 hour for us just basically having a bit of a roundtable discussion about some of the key issues that we thought might interest people.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I urge everyone to please go check that. Please listen to the interview. It was fascinating, and both Simon and Benjamin brought up a lot of really interesting points. One of the things I'd love to ask you about, you mentioned on the show with him that there was a quarantine here on the Earth, one by the reptilians to keep other people out, and also by the good guys, you called them, the good extraterrestrials.
Yes.
Are those quarantines still in place now, and how are they enforced?
Right. Originally, the reptilian quarantine was the only one in operation. Then, I don't like the word federation as such, but a group or a federation, whatever you want to call it, of more human like extraterrestrials who have a strong connection to humanity on Earth, they then enforced a quarantine on the reptilians.
Oh, interesting.
So that means that most of the portals are being guarded or blocked. There are portals on this planet, excuse me, that go from one part of the planet to another, and there were portals that went from the planet to a completely different star system. Now, all of those have been blocked or guarded, which has meant that it's been impossible for anything to come in from the fourth dimension.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That is what the blockage is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, of course, CERN was really sort of ramped up, because they were trying to open an unguarded portal into the fourth dimension so that these bad guys could, you know, have a communication. So that is the embargo, for want of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
But the reptilians put an embargo on because they said they owned the planet.
Oh, so really? Wow.
If we go back maybe, excuse me, if you go back maybe 100 years or 50 years, then there was an embargo, but it was placed by the reptilians. But that now has been completely switched around.
Wow.
The difficulty is we still don't have a green light. In other words, it's not permissible for any group, regardless of whether they're good or bad, mm-hmm. to actually make a public statement. Mm-hmm. What we would call disclosure. That's still not been allowed yet.
Interesting. Even if, like, I've heard that in Paradise, California, for example, Simon, that there were many tens of thousands of people who were killed there by direct energy weapons, which were fired by some negative elements in violation of a treaty. And as a result of that, I've heard that the Pleiadians here are now circling the planet as well, trying to help us out. I know there's a lot of going on right now, and things are changing, but I didn't know whether you'd heard of that or not. But
yeah, it's still the fact that you've said it yourself there, Ted, that they're circling. Mm-hmm. They haven't come down overtly. There are elements covertly down on the planet,
mm-hmm.
but still haven't received the okay mm-hmm. to make a worldwide disclosure. So that's the problem that we've got. We've got both sides, the negatives and the positives, not actually declaring in an official way that they're here.
I see.
So that's the problem we've got at the moment.
Okay. One thing, fascinating topic you mentioned, what was the real message of the Chinese probe on the other side of the moon? And you mentioned in your interview with Mr. Fulford, you mentioned that they couldn't have gone there without permission to land from the ETs, and they're there now.
Yes, we sometimes call it the dark side of the moon, but of course, right. technically, it's the far side of the
mm-hmm,
moon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your audience pretty clued up, and they'll know that the moon is the only celestial object that keeps its same face pointing towards the Earth. Every other object in space
right.
spins,
right.
so you see all of it. Now, that meant that there was one part that nobody was supposed to see.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Chinese landed this sampling probe, although the machine itself is pretty primitive, that's not the point. The point is it didn't get shot down. It was allowed to land, which tells us everything. It tells us that they were given the green light. And so whatever deal the Americans may have had, someone else now has gone and given the Chinese the same deal, because the Chinese are now saying, we are claiming a right to the far side of the moon. We're going to start exploring it. Now, they
wow.
would not dare do that unless they'd been given an okay from somebody.
Sure. That makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. I had heard from Randy Kramer or Corey Good that the dark side of the moon, Simon, was like a little Switzerland, that every different ETs from different races had like an embassy or a little station on the far side of the moon. And it was a place where people were supposed to, or entities were supposed to get along so they wouldn't fight each other, and even if they were warring. And now the Chinese apparently are part of that as well.
I agree with that. There's just one slight, very, very important piece missing.
Okay.
Because the question is, well, why the moon?
Yeah.
Why wasn't it Mars? Why wasn't it mm-hmm. Jupiter or Saturn? And the point is mm-hmm. that all of those entities, whether they're ETs or extra dimensionals, all of them who claim to have some ownership, that's a very hard word,
sure.
but ownership or business with humanity
mm-hmm.
were based on the far side of the moon. So it mm-hmm. isn't just lots of different groups. It's groups that claim to have a dealing with the humans. And that's mm-hmm. why it was on the moon, because if there were any issues or problems
mm-hmm.
In how they were interacting with humanity, then it was able to be sorted out fairly quickly. So these groups on the far side of the moon are purely there, or there's fewer now than there were, but they were purely there because they had stake to claim in humanity.
Oh, interesting. Wow, that's fascinating. You know, Simon, I've been asking you lots of questions, and forgive me, I'm sure you have topics you want to talk about too, so I want to open this up to you now, so please go ahead.
I think one of the main things that I'm going to sort of be pushing now is, because I know that certain people, you know, listen to these shows, and I was sort of pushing the fact that it's all very well indictments being opened in secret and, you know, tribunals being, what they call in camera, in other words, behind the curtains. I don't want that. I actually want these indictments to be seen by the public. I want them to be opened and dealt with. I do appreciate there are some very high-ranking people who are indicted, and for whatever reason, the system doesn't want them publicly to be known. And I give an example. In the Second World War, a large number of the German military tried to assassinate Hitler in 1944, and it didn't work. The bomb went off, but it didn't work. Now, one of those people was the very famous Field Marshal Rommel. And Rommel was an absolute star for the German people. He was an absolute hero. So rather than take him to court and do it, they just gave him a revolver with one bullet in it. And he did. He committed suicide rather than the disgrace. And the point is that there's a precedent on this planet. This happens time and time again. So I do accept there have been some key people who have supposedly died of natural causes. But what I'm saying is that doesn't show the public that the good guys are winning. It's no good dispatching these bad people all quietly. People, ordinary people, need to see a democratic process, a legal process. And I've said it, I don't wish to go on, but I saw three options for these people in court. One would be total exoneration. The other one would be guilty, but a reduced sentence because of mitigating circumstances, such as they might have been blackmailed or they had their family threatened. And then another category, which was, you know, entirely guilty and therefore should face whatever the penalty is. Now, that's what I think needs to happen. It needs to be in the public eye. Otherwise, how does anybody know, you know, that it's happening? I mean, George Bush Sr. was nearly 100 years old. And they put the story out, oh, he was executed. Well, you know, 100-year-old people do die. You know, if there's got to be more to this than just this whisperings, that's my point. I'm really passionate that if humanity is to move on, it must see these things happen.
Well, I agree with you, because if people don't, Simon, then it's just going to continue. There's not going to be any cleanup. You know, and I guess that brings me to my next point, because on your website. You mentioned that you'd written that George Soros is finally arrested.
Ted, what I said was there are claims that he's been arrested, and there's some counterclaims. We don't know. That's the problem, because there are stories on the internet that the Obamas have gone off to Guantanamo Bay, X, Y, and Z. You know, we need to see some evidence. We need to see the proof. If there are indictments regarding these very high, illustrious politicians, then they should be opened for everyone to see the charges and see it play out. That's what needs to happen. Because otherwise, my great concern is that one ruling elite is replaced by another ruling elite. Because if the public aren't involved, they don't actually know that the power brokerage has changed.
And this, I think this is part of it. The you've got a lot of claims of pedophilia, child sex abuse claims as well, beginning to emerge. But again, it's being hushed up. it's not really being publicly presented.
It's not. You're right.
You know.
Yeah.
I have to tell you this. This was back about 2.5 years ago. 2.5 years ago. It was during the presidential election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And I was contacted by Kathy O'Brien, who said that she'd been a sex slave to both Hillary and Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And it was a pre-recorded interview. I did it just before going on air that day. And frankly, I couldn't play the interview because it was just so negative. But at any rate, right after the interview, we had drones flying outside the station's window here, like they were looking at us and checking us out. But I'm sure they were. I'm sure they were. But and then there was also, you probably heard about this, Anthony Bourdain last year, who's a travel writer. And some say he was killed because he was also about to expose some pedophilia rings. So there's these persistent rumors coming out, but nothing, no hard facts yet coming out.
No, I mean, somebody sent me something what they call the dark web, which purported to have a senior American politician mm-hmm. torturing a child.
Oh, yes. Right.
Right. So I didn't know that this had been circulating for a couple of years. I had not seen it. And someone sent it to me. They didn't know either. They just found it. So I sent it off to a contact
right.
who sent it off to some very trusted CIA operations.
Mm-hmm.
And within 2 weeks, I got a reply back saying that actually it is genuine.
Wow.
And it will... it will make up charges that are already being done. Now, my understanding was they'd already got that.
Wow.
So that's why they were able to turn it around very quickly, because I'd asked for a voice recognition for them to do voice recognition software. But apparently they didn't need to do that simply because they'd already got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that gives me hope, because if I'm being told, yes, that's genuine, mm-hmm. You know, and it's going to be part of prosecutions that are taking place.
Right.
That does actually give me hope. But then people have written in to me afterwards saying, oh, well, that's been around on the internet for 2 years. Well, I didn't know that. But as soon as somebody sent it to me, I sent it straight off to people who could do something about it. And at least we've got that. At least we've been told, and I've been told, it's genuine and that they will actually take action on that. So I don't know. It may have been going around for 2 years, but I don't think anyone else has actually sent it to the CIA
right.
and actually had a message back from the CIA saying, yep, it's genuine, and yep, we're actually going to be taking action. So I'm really pleased with that, because
yeah.
otherwise, what are we fighting for? You know, we've got to have support from these good guys in the positions of power. And that was a little glimmer of hope for me.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, somebody sent that same video to me as well about a couple of months ago. I couldn't watch more than 30 seconds of it. It was so disgusting, and I turned it off. But I'm glad you sent it to the appropriate authorities, and that he's now going to be charged with crimes, and he should be thrown in jail.
Well, that's what they've said to me, that it's already part of whatever they're doing. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's really heartening news.
Sure.
But you know, I want to see that. I want to see that on the main news. You know.
Right.
CNN,
right.
Fox, I want to see it, the BBC News, you know, high-ranking politician charged with, you know, I want to see that. Because
right.
otherwise, what? Why are we fighting? I don't
right.
want these things behind closed doors.
Right.
So that's my message. So I know that a lot of people listen to this who have very powerful jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm hoping they're listening to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, good. You had an interesting little spot on your website, Simon, about, quote, a special place in hell. European Union leader tells the British politicians to go to hell. Love your comment on that.
Well, look, I voted to leave the European Union
mm-hmm.
Simply because I'm old enough to remember in the early 1970s.
Right.
And the British people were asked to vote to join Europe. But they weren't actually asked to vote to join Europe. They were asked to vote to join a common market.
Oh, I see.
Where people could swap, Ford motor cars could be made in, say, Belgium under license from the US, and then that would... And that was the way it was sold. Well, of course, people went for it because it sounded a really good deal. Well, many years later, we have a government. You have politicians. You have not just a common market, but you have a one world government for Europe.
Right.
And when the British people realized the trick had been played, they fought it. And so Donald Tusk, Mr. Tusk, who said basically that he thought there was a special place in hell for those people who wanted to leave Europe, he really shows his anger. Because Britain is one of the largest financial contributors to Europe. We put, as a country, more money in than we get out. And they're very, very angry they're going to lose all that money. And that's what it's all about. And also, look at the situation now with France and Italy. Italy now refusing to talk to France, and France has pulled its ambassador out of Italy. So what's happening? Europe is fragmenting. The political system of Europe is fragmenting. The people aren't fragmenting, but their politicians, if they are the usual unhelpful politicians, their days are numbered. And so what countries are doing is electing people who may be very odd, but they're not the old guard.
Right.
They're not the usual. So I think with Britain leaving Europe, and the vile and the nastiness coming from these European politicians, I think that the mask has slipped and people will say, well, thank goodness Britain got out of it. When are we leaving?
And I think the other countries will get out. And that leads me to my next question. We don't get much news here on much of anything and the mass media here in the United States, Simon. But what's happening in France now with the riots there? Are they still continuing?
They are. This is one of the problems, because what happened was the Deputy Prime Minister of Italy crossed the border into France to hold high-level discussions with the demonstrators, and the French were absolutely furious. Well, the point is, you see, that the President of France is a banker. He's a merchant banker. He is part of the problem. And the French, large numbers of the French people, no longer want a banker to be their president. They'd much rather have somebody who had a more everyday regular job, because bankers don't identify with ordinary people. Bankers don't buy food from the same stores. They don't go to work in the same way. They have a very different lifestyle. So the French people have decided that their president is not very representative of France. And I think that, Italy, who have created this new five-star government movement, which is anti-establishment, are now talking to the French people and saying, well, if you want to get rid of him, this is how you should do it. So this is it. Europe is at its throat. And I think Great Britain is very wise to leave. And I think that we'll, you know, we'll look back at this in a few years' time and think we got out just in time. I mean, you know, President Trump is coming to visit Britain in December.
I was going to ask you about that, right?
Yeah. So let's get some good trade deals, good deals for the US and good deals for Great Britain.
Absolutely.
If we're not got our hands tied by these rather nasty people in Europe, we can sit down with the US president and say, right, this is what we make. Do you want to buy them? We know what you make. We want to buy that. Let's do it so that we don't hurt each other's economies. Fantastic opportunity. Fantastic opportunity.
We there was a rumor a couple of years ago, Simon, over here in the U.S., that what made people really upset in the U.K. was that EU officials were telling people how much electricity and how much how many times a day they could make hot water for tea as part of this EU government. And people flipped out. Is that a true story?
Listen, I haven't heard that.
Okay.
I don't think. But I'll tell you what they did do, which they did so many things which caused Britain to leave.
Sure.
For instance, before this horrendous European common market, a man or a woman or a family who had some land could grow, let's just say, apples. They grew apples, mm-hmm. and then would take it to the supermarket and say, we've got 5 ton of apples, what will you buy? So the supermarket would buy them. Then Europe came in and mm-hmm. said, we've just measured your apples, mm-hmm. and they're not the right size.
Oh, no.
So produced laws preventing, they had to match. So an apple had to be between a minimum size and a maximum size.
Oh, my God.
Bananas, for instance. Bananas have to have a certain angle to them, a certain bend. They won't allow fruit and vegetables that doesn't conform to a pattern. That's ridiculous.
Oh,
absolutely ridiculous. So no wonder British people decided that they were no longer going to be told what to do in their own country
people
that we don't elect. And, you know, the American people have got no clue,
right.
Because why would you?
Right, true.
But if you go to Strasbourg, mm-hmm. which is where the European Parliament is, mm-hmm. do you know that there's a plaque that says the home of Europe?
Really? Interesting.
They believe themselves to be the government of Europe.
Wow.
And that just shows you. And it's all in the major newspapers 2-3 weeks ago, where the European Union decided it wanted its own army. Now, we know that'll never happen.
Really?
Oh, yes. This is the danger. They don't like America. The Europeans do not like America. The only country that likes America is Britain.
Mm-hmm.
British people mm-hmm. basically like America, mm-hmm. but most European countries do not like America, but Britain's always had a special relationship. So what happened was the leaders of this European supposed government said, we need our own army because we don't trust the Russians, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
We don't trust the Chinese, fair enough. And you know what then they said? We don't trust the Americans.
Sure, right.
Now that's disgusting because the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, is about 75% funded by America and has been ever since it was created. It is American men and women, American tanks, American money, and American aircraft that gives NATO its backbone. And here you've got these jumped up, horrible European people saying, we don't trust America.
Hmm.
Well, after all that America has done. So no wonder President Trump is sticking his finger up at the Europeans, because he's saying, we've given you billions and billions,
right.
and now you're saying you want an army only of Europeans.
Wow.
You don't want an army of Americans. So I want your listeners to understand that mm-hmm. There are some very nasty people in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and Britain is not in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Britain likes Australia and Canada and New Zealand and India and America, and believe it or not, Russia, because
mm-hmm.
they're not part of the European Union.
Mm.
And if the guys can get together, we can have a fantastic trade deal. Brilliant.
I hope so. I hope so. And I think we will, actually. And I think we will, because good things are on our way. And this brings me to my next point. You know, I've been talking about for years, Simon, that we're on the path to ascension, to a beautiful new earth. But I try to be realistic like you, too, because we are facing challenges and we just can't sit back and watch old movies, watch TV and expect and eat chocolates and just expect things to fall in our lap, because we have to work for it.
I like the idea of eating chocolates.
Yes, it is good. Eating chocolates is great. I agree with you. I agree with you. And this brings me to several points, and one is that it's the importance of the media and getting information out in a positive way to empower people to make this world a better place. You mentioned in your interview with Mr. Fulford that your daughter had gone out in this protest in London, over 100,000 people, yet the media in London only gave, 30 seconds to this huge demonstration? They've done the same thing here in the States too.
Well, it was yes, but it was very, very sinister. This is a few years ago. It was very sinister because the demonstration was really about how does 1% of the world's population own 90% of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So this was about fairness, and although everybody said there was only a very small number, we know for a fact there was nearly 100,000 people who demonstrated. Wow. Because of the aerial shots from helicopters showed street after street packed with people. Yeah. Now, the reason I made the point was because it was and I don't know that your audience actually know this, so this will be a first for them. Mm-hmm. This huge demonstration only received something like 30 seconds of news. Wow. Now, that in itself isn't surprising, because the last thing the establishment want is to promote the fact that lots of people are beginning to rebel against the control. Now, this is why I brought it out. Of the 30 seconds, they just showed one person in the demonstration. So they zoomed in. You saw the demonstration. They zoomed into one person of the 100,000 people, and that was my daughter. Wow. So the 100,000 people demonstrating, they zoomed in on my daughter, and then 3 days later, my daughter lost her job.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Because one of the shareholders was one of the rich elite. And he wasn't going to have somebody demonstrate, because she had a placard which said, you know, 1% owns 90%. How can this be fair?
Right, right. Well,
but the very fact that they picked on her is you know, it's a message to me,
right?
Obviously, right. You know, bless her. You know, if she hadn't had the dad she had, she'd still be working there, but she probably wouldn't want to work there.
Sure.
But that was a message to me. So I know that I'm looked at. I know I'm watched. But you know, so what?
Yeah.
So,
well, here in the United States, Fukushima is not mentioned anymore in our media, even though the plants are still, it's still a problem in Japan with the radiation. And back when Obamacare was being pushed through our Congress, over 1 million people, I'm told, demonstrated against it in Washington, D.C., yet not even 1 second on the mass media they mentioned demonstrations. Nothing at all.
Well, there was some years ago, there was something like 250,000 people demonstrated in Israel,
mm-hmm.
wanting peace.
Wow.
And completely blanked. Wow. The only way we know it happened is because people took photographs with their cell phones,
mm-hmm.
and put them on the internet.
Sure.
That's
sure.
the only way we knew sure. there'd been a massive demonstration of 250,000 Jewish people saying no more war with the Arabs. We don't want war with the Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
We want peace. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, you know, that's not what, it's not coming out. It just, right. It just doing that. So we do need a huge shakeup on this planet. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We needed to start again, really, and have decent values and build it up from the ground upwards.
And I think most people have decent values, because the nature of humanity is to be loving, kind, sweet, benevolent, and caring about each other, not to be fighting all the time, not to be interested in death and destruction. So, and I know eventually we'll win out, but like you pointed out in your interview with Mr. Fulford last week, we have to meet these challenges. We just can't sit back and let other people do the work for us.
It's really important because we need to show the Earth that we're not taking everything for granted. We need to show the Earth that we can do something, because, you see, the Earth is a solid object. It can't actually move as we can. It can't go and vote.
Right.
It can't go and show its displeasure. It can't write to its lawmaker. Sure. It has to work in one way, and it looks to the human race to provide protection in another way. And so this is why people, no matter what they do, no matter how little it is, every little helps.
Absolutely.
And that's what's so important.
Absolutely. And this brings me to my next question, Simon, if you don't mind. You mentioned in Mr. Fulford's interview that it's all down to the U.S. military to change the world, because they're the only ones with the capability to take on the cabal. And especially if you combine the militaries of the United States, China, and Russia, this could be a very powerful force to do good on the planet.
Yes. What we were talking about was, you see, under the days of Bush, private security firms, like they were called Blackwater,
right.
were built up, and foreigners were being brought in. And it was deliberately done to threaten the regular US military. Mm-hmm. There were literally hundreds of thousands of these so-called security people who were paid money and given a uniform, and they were supposedly loyal to their employer, and their employer, of course, was loyal to the cabal. So we've seen that breaking down now, and therefore the United States official military is clearly in control now, clearly in control. And we saw that during the presidential election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, when in a number of states, the National Guard were not just put on standby, but were activated. And there were a number of drive-throughs where hundreds and thousands of troops drove through different states. And this was the US military threatening the cabal, saying, we can put tanks on the street. Yes, we're calling it a military exercise, but we can do this. And this isn't to threaten the public. This is to actually reassure the public. And so the military, the United States military, is now largely independent of satanic control.
Excellent.
That's a very important point to make.
Wow, that's excellent. I know that after the Paradise Fire, when they weren't fires, they were directed energy beams directed at those poor people where tens of thousands of people died, that the military has stepped in and taken control of the situation. But I haven't heard anything, of course, in our media about it. Do you know much from your end, Simon, what's going on there now?
It was very difficult because my understanding was that it wasn't just humans involved in these things. It was something off-planet as well.
Right.
It was supposed to be supporting the cabalistic forces.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bit of a firefight. And then these rather crazy people thought they would use that as a cover to burn houses.
Right.
And you know yourself, and so did the audience, that the pictures you've seen of fires starting in 7, 8, 9 multiple places.
Right.
And started and done to cut off people's escape.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that under a real operation that was taking place, mm-hmm. some very negative people have decided to use that as a backdrop or a cover to cause more problems.
Right.
That's what that was. And then it was very interesting when some of the most wealthy in Hollywood suddenly had some of their houses burned down. Isn't it amazing how all the fires not stopped immediately, but how it all began to reduce? As soon as the super elite, the super elite, their homes were being burnt, and not just your ordinary people, mm-hmm. suddenly the fires seemed to stop. Now, the fire crews were fighting tirelessly to bring the fires under control.
Right.
But as soon as you stop lighting them, then these guys can get the fires under control. The only reason they couldn't get them under control was because every time they put one out, somebody set another one up in the other corner.
Right.
So as soon as they stopped setting them, the fire brigade, the firefighters got it under control quite quickly.
Right. Amazing. What's instructive, and I'll just share this little story with you, Simon. It's instructive. It's amazing how much control, however, the mass media still has on much of the American public. And I'll give you an example. I talked to a lady down in, she lived close to Malibu, where the directed energy beams weapons were used there too. And there were cars out on the beach there, beaches in front of Malibu, which had been systematically hit with these directed energy weapons, where they'd been imploded from the inside with, forgive me for saying this, skeletons and people's ashes were inside these vehicles, but there wasn't any fire around, yet they were calling it fires. And yet, people 20, 30 miles away living in Los Angeles, these people I talked to before about, I asked them if they'd heard anything, completely clueless. They thought it was caused by I think the story that came out in the mass media was that a fire had been building a fence and he hit his hammer on a piece of metal and it sparked, and the spark suddenly destroyed all these homes and killed over 50,000 people. It doesn't make sense, but that shows you how much control the mass media has on some people here in the United States.
Some of these weapons were being fired from drones, not just helicopters. Some were drone operated, and they have some pretty sophisticated drones now.
Right.
So I still, to this day, and I don't know whether I will ever get the full story, but I'm not sure who was fighting who. We know that good people were fighting bad people, but there were bad people fighting bad people as well. They were fighting themselves.
Right.
We'll never perhaps get the full story.
Right.
But again, it's poor old California that gets it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Twice up here in the Seattle area, Simon, in the past year and a half, 2 years, we've had these strange, massive, localized tornadoes that come through, devastate an area, trees, or a community, and then they disappear suddenly. I've been told that those were actually battles between the good entities and the good ETs and the bad ETs, but I haven't been able to find any confirmation. But that's what I was told anyway. So,
there was a fantastic picture somebody put on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And I scrambled to try and get that picture to put it on my website.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cloud, but it hadn't quite fully formed, mm-hmm. and it was a genuine picture, and it really did show an alien spacecraft creating a portal and then taking water vapor around itself to cloak it in the shape of a cloud.
Oh, sure.
And YouTube took that down within 2 to 3 minutes of it going up.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't get it. So you know when something's genuine, when YouTube take it down.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We see pictures like that all the time up here at Mount Rainier on a clear day. We do, once in a while, there's clear days here. We get a lot of rain, but you do see the clouds in this circular pattern. You see it all the time at Mount Shasta. They're called lenticular clouds, but my friends on the other side tell me that those are, in fact, of spaceships. And I guess this leads me to my next question is, now the government was shut down. It's back running now, open for 3 weeks until February 15th. What do you think will happen after the 15th, Simon? What could happen? Well,
I'm so hopeful is not the right word.
Okay.
I absolutely want a state of national emergency declared in the United States of America.
Okay.
What I've been told, for what it's worth, is that Trump wanted to call a state of national emergency last time round, mm-hmm. but his advisors said the public won't buy it. You've got to give, you've got to be seen to be making another effort. So the media sold it that he caved in to the Democrats, but he was quite happy to have that because then he felt that if he does call a state of national emergency, he can point to the fact that he had tried to compromise, that he'd given ground. Now, I want a state of national emergency simply because that is the perfect backdrop to open the indictments.
Ah, right.
You see, because yeah. we're talking about part military tribunal, part civilian tribunal. Now, you have a state of national emergency. Not only do you stick a few bits of steel into a ground and say, that's my barrier, what you actually say is certain government departments need to be shut down,
mm-hmm.
Put military in certain corporations or certain this, that, and the other. If we don't get a state of national emergency, I don't really see how we're going to have the opportunity to open these indictments in public. So that's what I want. I want that to happen.
Well, I think that's a good thing to want, Simon. I think that would be best for the United States and the world as well. And what you said, too, there was another point I was going to bring up. On Benjamin Fulford's interview a week ago, you said that we need to cooperate with each other and find common ground and then create a better world. You said we're all living a lie. People have a right to know the truth, but we're being treated as slaves. It's a very clever operation on this planet to make people think they're free when they're not.
Yeah, so what I said was when we think of slaves, we think of a black man or a black woman picking cotton.
Sure.
But the reality is that it's nothing to do with color.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very clever operation because, you know, we the vast majority of us are paid slaves.
Right.
Are paid, and people genuinely can't understand that because they say, well, slaves don't get paid. How can we be a slave because we're paid?
Right.
And I say, yeah, but what do you do with your money? You actually give it back, or it's taken from you, back to the same people that gave it to you in the first place. Mm. So if a person earned their wages, their salary, and then would go and do with it, and it didn't go back to the same people, then they would be truly free, but they're not. See, we're ashamed in this country. We're ashamed in Great Britain because 150 years ago, we didn't regulate the laws the British landowning classes were super powerful. Mm-hmm. And what happened was that with the Industrial Revolution, huge factories were opened in Great Britain. Mm-hmm. And what the factory owner would do is he would open a store, and instead of paying British people with real money, mm-hmm. he would produce token coins. Mm-hmm. And so he would say, this is worth five of these or six of these. And he made these people, these workers, spend their token money in his own shops.
Oh.
So he paid them in worthless material, but it was worth something to the workers because they could go and get their food, but it was his shop. So mm-hmm. that's paid slaves. And what they've done mm-hmm. now is they've just given us money with the Queen's head on it, or a president's head on it, or
sure.
you know. But it's the same principle,
right?
Because the guy who is a stock and bond holder, perhaps in a big car corporation, mm-hmm. might actually have a holding in the job that you actually work in.
That's true.
People don't realize that. You know, how many telecom or communications or news companies are there in America? Hundreds and hundreds. But are there just now 3, 4, 5 men that own all of the media in the U.S.?
Practically. And that's yeah. why alternative media, what the work you do, and I would like to think my radio show as well, and television shows, trying to get the truth out to people so that people can make their own minds up to make this planet a better place. There was one interesting point that Benjamin Fulford made last week. We've got about 3 minutes left, and I'll just say this quickly. He said that there has to be an oversight of progress of people working for the greater good. And he lives in Japan, where government means organizing festivals. But in the United States and some Western countries, government means mind control. I thought that was a fascinating point he made.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Yes, I think that we've got a lot to learn from them, and they've got a lot to learn from us. And I think this is what you've always said, Ted, that if we put the best of everything together, we'll have an unstoppable project.
Oh, absolutely. And Simon, we've got a minute left. I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm afraid we didn't really take any questions from any audience, so I'm sure I'm going to get in trouble for them.
Yeah, but, we had some. Oops, maybe next week.
I think you're better, Ted.
Okay.
Just that, you know, people were saying January was the crucial time. No, it's this February. This is the month. I'm really hoping that something big happens for good. So let's just all pray for that. Let's just pray for something good to happen very soon, and we can all get behind that and support it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, and Simon, can you come on next week? Would that work on your schedule?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm sure it
okay.
is.
Okay, and then I'll ask all the questions I prepped for today, and it slipped my mind. I was so focused on...
As long as they know it's your fault, Ted, and not me, I'm okay with that.
You can blame me. That's totally fine. That's totally fine.
All right, God bless, Ted, and God bless to the audience.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Simon. Really appreciate it, and glad you're feeling so glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Simon. Take care. That was my good friend, Simon Parks, coming to us live from England. He'll be on again next week. Usually Simon's on the first and third Fridays of every month, but he wasn't feeling well last week, so I had him on today. During our next hour, I'll be bringing on, we'll be talking about water issues with Leon McLaughlin of the Clean Water Foundation, Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project, and possibly Martha Childress, we can get her on, talking about getting clean water for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. For decades, they've been drinking carcinogenic, arsenic-filled water, but now we're finally getting clean water to them. And their interviews will be followed by a wonderful psychic and medium from Japan. So anyway, stay tuned, my friends. We'll be back on the air in just a few minutes with our next guests.